What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount
I know no other fount because there is no other fount. Nothing but the blood of Jesus covers our sin. All right, praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, this morning to the book of John in chapter 9. John chapter 9. Here in John chapter 9, we have one of the many, many miracles that the Lord Jesus performed when he was here on earth. And like all of these miracles, they're a lot like nature. They are designed to point us to him, not to cling to or worship the miracle that he did, but he that did the miracle. Like when he fed the 5,000, they followed him. Even across the sea, they followed him. But they followed him because they wanted to hang around with somebody who could feed them at any moment. All that they needed, physical supplies, physical needs, physical food. And he told them just that thing. You don't seek me, you seek me because you saw the miracle. John chapter 9 and verse 1. And we will call this message blind from birth. And as Jesus passed by, verse 1, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that caused him to be born blind, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, and said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thy eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. We'll go a little further later, but we'll stop right there for now. And let's look at this wonderful miracle. We've said many times, anytime we stop at a scripture or a set of scriptures and dig into it, look into it, seek God in it, that we find more and more. The more we seek, the more time we spend, the more we see, the more it relates to us and our lives. And that's a fact, and it's true here. So Jesus passed by. By the way, if you remember, in the previous chapter, the Lord was talking to the religious leaders, and they were talking about who was their father. And at the end of it, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He had identified himself before these religious leaders as God. They knew what I am meant, for sure, because they were scholars of the scriptures. Then took they up stones to cast at him. So that's what happened just before this. They took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as he was passing by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now notice, in verse 3, Jesus answered in answer to the disciples' questions, Master, who sinned that caused this man to be blind? Was it him or was it his parents? Because he was born that way. And it's important to notice that. Well, it wasn't his fault, he was born that way. So we can eliminate him right away. So was it his parents' fault? Jesus says, no. That what happened to him was in the plan of God. This being born blind was in God's plan so that he could work a miracle on this person and give him sight. So it makes us think, of course, about spiritual blindness, doesn't it? It does. Were we born spiritually blind? Absolutely. Well, whose fault was that? Is it our fault? Was it our parents' fault that sin, particular sin, caused that? No. So in a way, we could say it was our parents' fault. Not our earthly parents. Well, yes, our earthly parents. But the very first parents, Adam and Eve. Why were we born spiritually blind? Why were we born with this fallen nature? Because God separated man from the holy place of the Garden of Eden because of sin. And God placed a curse on the earth and on man. And so we were born spiritually blind. Is it the result of sin? Absolutely. The original sin. When man was separated from God because of sin. No, sin was not the cause of this man's physical blindness. But again, him being born blind was in God's plan so that he could give him sight. It was in God's plan. In the Garden of Eden, God was in control of all things then too. He could have kept Satan out of the Garden of Eden. But he had a plan, and he allowed it. He allowed this deception to go on. If he hadn't have allowed it, it wouldn't have happened. He really is the sovereign God and always has been, including in the Garden of Eden when he allowed Satan to deceive Eve and Eve took her husband with her on this journey. I don't believe he was deceived. She was. I think that he was thinking something along the lines of, I don't know what this death thing is, but whatever it is, if she's going, I'm going. He was loving this creature that God made for him more than he was loving God. And so he purposely disobeyed God. All right. That the works of God should be manifest in him. And that's verse 3. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I want you to see the spiritual side of this miracle this morning. You were born blind from birth for a reason. Again, I say, God could have kept Satan out of the Garden of Eden, but he allowed his plan to unfold that he might show the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ, by sending him to this earth, by living a perfect life that none of us could do. Because of Adam's sin, we were born spiritually blind, unable to see the Savior as the Savior, as our Savior. We had blinders over our eyes. And we were born this way on purpose so that God might manifest the glory of His Son by sending Him to live this perfect life and then voluntarily give it up for us. You see, all the glory goes to His Son. All of history was in God's plan. All of the future is in God's plan. And all of it has a purpose. And that ultimate purpose is to point to Jesus Christ, His Son, and to glorify Him. So the works of God are manifest in us when we are enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God. And what does He enlighten us to? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That it applies to us. That He died on that cross for me personally, for you personally. Now this man didn't understand what all happened to him, how it worked. And I don't think he spent a lot of time dwelling on it. Because he had sight. He told him, he said, all I know is where I was blind, now I see. I obeyed him. Now I see. Verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Oh, this brings in a time element, doesn't it? It does. There is a specific chosen time for all these things to take place in God's plan. He's a specific God. He's a particular God. Today is the day of salvation. Many places in the world, in the Word, Old Testament and New Testament, we are told that today is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. So we see dedication to God's work here. What work is He doing? The works of Him that sent me. What are we doing? If we're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are doing the works of Him who sent us. We are sent by God. He made us who we are. He made us who we are when we are. You see, He's a specific God. He causes us to speak of Him. He opens the ears of the listener. Today is the day of salvation. So if today is the day of salvation, and God uses the gospel of Jesus Christ to save souls, then today's the day to speak the gospel too, isn't it? Absolutely. Today's the day to witness of Him. Today. We certainly are not promised tomorrow, are we? No. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Our bulletin this morning talks about us as the salt of the world. Talked about us as the light. And no, you don't put it under there so everybody's still walking around in the dark. No, you put it on a candlestick somewhere in elevation. You lift it up, you see. And you're lifting up Jesus Christ, aren't you, when you do that? So we are in the world now, and He has left us here a light for the world. All right, verse 6. This is how He did it. When He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. Was there anything special about that dirt or that spit? Well, I won't think about that. Because that spit came out of the mouth of God, didn't it? He really was God. Yeah, He was a human. He went through all the trials and tribulations that we go through. But He was a perfect human being. He never disobeyed God, not once. He was not born with the nature that's blind. No, He had eyes to see. And He saw Himself. He was God and is God. So, I don't know. Is that spit special? I would think so. Because it came from the mouth of God. The same place that the Word of God comes from. So He took that spit and He rubbed it around in the dirt and He made clay out of it. It sounds kind of familiar. We go back to Genesis, doesn't it? Certainly, He could give this blind man sight. He gave Adam and Eve their body and their ability to reproduce. Which, that's us. That's where we came from. He was the creator of the human body. Certainly, He could heal it. The significance that He used these creation elements the way He did it. And He rubbed it on His eye. If He did that to a seeing person, somebody would surely say, hey, you're going to blind him. But just the opposite for God. Because from even before the foundation of the world, this man's life was planned to be in blindness until he met the Savior. And this wasn't a random trip where he happened to run across a blind man. See, God's specific. He's in control of time. As we are born spiritually blind, we are walking in darkness. Darkness that is opposed to the light. Humanism. Humanistic tendencies that are opposed to God and righteousness. Oh, but there's a set time in your life where God put eye salve on your eyes and you were able to see Him. What a Savior. Bible tells us that the Word of God is eye salve for the eyes, for the soul. So this clay that the Lord made, pretty unlikely means of restoring sight in any doctor or any human's thinking. But it was the way that God used. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a pretty unlikely method or means of saving a soul to the natural man. You think that little story of Jesus, what's that inhuman thinking? It's a story about a baby who grew up to be a man and died on a cross. How is that going to save me or help me or give me life? Oh, but when the time came or comes in your life, the Lord uses the Word of God And he gives you seeing eyes and hearing ears so that the gospel is effective to you. It affects your heart and it changes it. The old prophet said that the Lord will change, take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And that's what happens. When that time, that exact point in time comes and God applies the gospel of Jesus Christ to your heart and mind. Praise God. Though to the natural man, the gospel seems powerless, God uses the foolishness of preaching it to save sinners. Again, it's in His plan. It's His means. Verse 7, the Lord said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. I want you to see this morning that we are washed by the purifying properties of the Word of God. That's worth saying again. We, as we partake of the Word of God, and it applies to us, how does it apply to us? God has given us seeing eyes to see that He's talking to us and about us, and the Word of God is for us. As we do, we are washed by the purifying properties of the Word of God in conjunction with our new nature. In other words, it applies to us now. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that He came to this earth and died for us because He loved us, even though we were sinful and unlovely. He's always loved us. As we do believe and apply the Word of God to our lives, it will cleanse and purify the way we think. That's a fact. We need that desperately, don't we? Because the battle in our lives is going on in our minds, isn't it? It is. What a miracle that Jesus Christ has wrought in your life if you know Him this morning. He used His exact means to save your soul. He is a powerful God. There's no chance or happenstance with Him. He is in control. Praise God if you know Him this morning. Realize that this same miracle has been wrought in your life. And if not, won't you seek Him? Won't you seek the gospel of Jesus Christ? Learn of Him. As you seek God, you will absolutely see change. The Lord said, knock and the door will open. He meant that. That's a promise. And when you do, you will realize that He was drawing you all along. He's in control. And praise God, He's got our good on His mind. What a Savior.